Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We talked recently about allegations, and when I say allegations plural, I mean many allegations matching in details and in scope that have been made by young women, or at the time people who were young women, in the employ of Bill Gothard. Now, Bill Gothard is well known in evangelical circles, very, very well known in evangelical circles. I remember going to one of his, they called it at the time, an Institutes in Basic Youth Conflicts. Now, the name has changed, but the materials remain the same. It was very popular in the 70s and the 80s, and it was for a lot of parents, they thought a godsend with their kids, trying to raise their kids in a godly way. And a lot of things we can say about Bill Gothard and his teaching, and maybe in the course of our conversation we will, but the allegations were made that he had inappropriate relationships, not relations, but relationships with young women in his employ who he kept as very staffers near at hand. We talked about those before. And at the point of our conversation last time with Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood, there hadn't been any formal statement from Gothard himself, but a statement has come forth, an apology of sorts. The big question in my mind, of course, and I'm sure it is in yours, is does what Gothard admits to in his apology match what the allegations, the many allegations that have been made about him? Joining us to talk about the recent apology issued by Bill Gothard about abuse allegations, Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood, co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been touched and influenced by Bill Gothard. Dr. Cornish, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Carrie, welcome back as well.
Thank you.
Dr. Cornish, you have, I'm sure, read very carefully the apology issued by Bill Gothard. Does what he admits to in that apology, does it match in detail with what the allegations made against him by these many women say?
Well, yes and no. In his statement, he addresses a number of issues, some fairly broad, including abuses of individuals in the ministry, termination for unfair reasons, just because people didn't measure up. But specifically dealing with these relationships with these young women, what he addresses in his statement is he admits to actions of holding hands, hugs, touching of feet, of hair, and he refers to these behaviors as crossing boundaries of discretion. Not much more detail is given other than that. So while those are all things that we have addressed on our website, there are other more specific allegations that we're concerned about as well, including giving money to girls to buy specific types of underwear, private counseling sessions where he asked for details about personal sexual experiences and temptations, suggesting medical cosmetic procedures to enhance beauty and appearance. And so some of those things that we feel maybe more overtly sexual in nature were not addressed in his statement.
Carrie, could you review for us how would you describe both the scope, the number, and the nature of the allegations that many women have made about Bill Gothard over the years?
Well, over the years is a little bit hard to quantify because the culture of IBLP and Bill's ministry is to come directly to the person who offended you and not go directly to the authorities. So it's really very difficult for us to know for sure how many people confronted him in the past. The people that have published their stories on our website is, I think, maybe seven. But we have other stories that have come to us that we have not yet published. There's a number that's been thrown around. It's about 34. That's accurate. There are more than that. They come in kind of weekly. So the number is growing as far as how many stories that we actually have. But we haven't published as many as we have. These stories are from women who are not necessarily related to each other. They're from years spanning back from 1970 all the way up until the last couple of years. And most of these women would have no connection with each other, no reason to sort of copy each other, and yet their stories and details are very similar. So we found that to be very, very telling, and we would have liked to see Bill Gothard address some of those more specific offenses.
What kind of statements have there been to this point from the organization, Gothard's organization, the Institute in Basic Life Principles?
Yeah, okay. IBLP has officially only offered a statement that Bill resigned. That was a statement offered by the board. Shortly thereafter, they hired what they call an interim president, and he offered a letter on the IBLP website. Other than that, there really isn't an official statement yet. That's something that we're still waiting for and very concerned about, and we would very much like to see something official from the board. Bill's statement was released on his personal website.
Dr. Cornish, what's the relationship, if any, now between Bill Gothard and the Institute in Basic Youth Life Principles?
That's hard to say. Technically, he's no longer employed, from what we understand. Is not served by any of their staff, or even their IT. I think his own website is even now on his own server. So technically, there's not a relationship there. It's hard to say what kind of back channel conversations or relationships he might be having with current staff, current board members, who are all lifelong friends of his.
Before these allegations were made, Dr. Cornish, how would you describe Bill Gothard's place in that organization?
Oh, Bill Gothard was the organization. I mean, from the beginning in the 60s and 70s with the basic seminar, that was Bill Gothard. You went to a basic seminar, and you listened to him speak for 5 nights and 2 days. And, throughout the life of the ministry, the vast majority of the ministry's output has been Bill's books, his teachings, and things that he has created. So I don't think it's unfair to say that Bill Gothard was IBLP.
Was there something in your mind, Carrie, in the nature of that organization that permitted him to foster the kind of inappropriate relationships that he did with young women?
Oh, yes. Well, how the ministry was structured made it very possible for him to do what he did. Bill structured his organization on what he called the, he used a couple of different terminologies, but basically the authority structure, chain of command, umbrella of protection. Young women were taught to respect their authority, to be under their fathers until marriage, to be under their husbands from there. And when they came to work for Bill in Chicago, he would instruct them that they were essentially placed under his authority as a father figure, as an employer, and so on. And they, for the most part, took that to heart. These were young women who were brought up very conservatively. And so any kind of inappropriate interactions, most of them might not even understand at the time, which is why we're having a lot of, PTSD type reactions later as these young women become more experienced, more mature, and really understand what happened to them at the time. But the way he structured his ministry, he did all the hiring, he did all the firing, he made all of the major decisions, and of course he had this chain of command structure in place himself at the top.
Does that mean, Dr. Cornish, that in effect, Bill Gothard, while he was still ruling the roost, so to speak, at the Institute in Basic Life Principles, was able not only to foster these relationships, but to essentially protect himself from being found out either by secrecy or by just, well, firing people who wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the whole chain of command structure didn't apply just to young women or students. It applied to everybody who worked for him. And there's a long list of people who have confronted him on these issues and found themselves without a job shortly thereafter. And I think another part of the whole phenomenon, too, is just the cult of personality with Bill is everybody that worked for him or worked with him viewed him as this godly, super spiritual individual. So most people wouldn't even dare question him. Some of these girls would even tell you now that the reason they never questioned the behavior at the time was they realized that if they were uncomfortable with it, it must be because they were wrong, because Bill would never be wrong in doing what he was doing. So I think that same mindset would have been common among the older adult staff that worked there as well. But I think, as you said, the secrecy was a big part of it as well. So I think there are people who were there that never knew this happened.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation talking about a recent apology issued by Bill Gothard about abuse allegations while he served as the head of the Institute in Basic Life Principles. Our guests, Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood, are co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been influenced by Bill Gothard.
The dangers inherent in particularly Lutheran Reformation Christians trying to be Baptists in their worship approach.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Just at the moment, a lot of people, Baptists and evangelicals included, are looking for more substance in their worship life. Many of them are looking to helpful liturgies and the hymns of the church to bring content to their services. Lutherans are throwing that stuff off the deck of the boat as fast as they can do it. So there'll be some comments, some discussion about why that's a dangerous avenue for Lutherans to take.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case against Lutherans imitating evangelicals June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case Conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a recent apology issued by Bill Gothard regarding abuse allegations made against him. In the course of our conversation with Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood so far, well, the apology falls short of the allegations, the scope of the allegations that have been made. Dr. Cornish, I'm curious about this and reading your response to his apology that came from Recovering Grace. Are there places where you suspect that he's not just not admitting to the full details of what he did with young women, but he's actually contradicting stories that have been told by these young women making allegations?
Well, I think the biggest contradiction between what he stated and what these young women have stated in their stories is that he very carefully and deliberately says that his behaviors were not sexual in nature, and then he also contradicts a story from a young lady who uses the pseudonym Charlotte, who alleged behaviors that would probably cross the lines into molestation. So, in his statement, he makes this. Well, here's the statement says, because of the claims about me, I do not want to state that I have never. I do want to state that I have never kissed a girl, nor have I touched a girl immorally or with sexual intent. So that statement there contradicts not only Charlotte's story, but also the other young ladies who felt very strongly that his behavior, at least at some level, had sexual overtones to it.
Kerry, I want to talk about something you mentioned before the break, and that is the way that the Institute and Basic Life Principles, the organization, was structured. And these girls were brought into the organization to actually work side by side with Bill Gothard at various different times. But you said the way it was structured, with kind of veneer of spirituality over the whole thing, these umbrellas of protection or of authority, made the situation ripe for someone who wanted to kind of game the system to spend time with and to have inappropriate contact with young women. Has there been any part in this allegation that says, you know, we were kind of afraid to say anything? We knew about it. Maybe people who have worked in the organization who got wind of these things. Has anyone come forward to say anything like that?
You know, not exactly. Anyone who did try to come forward at the time, those individuals were often vilified in the IBLP ATI community. Bill had a system of not just firing people, sending them back home to wherever they came from, but also in many ways destroying their reputation. He would come up with whatever he felt they had done wrong in their time working for him. They would have them stand up in front of the staff and make detailed apologies, and they would go home in shame. So anyone who did try to speak up at that time had no credibility. And those who perhaps would have liked to say something but were afraid for their jobs have not come to us at this time. If they exist, we haven't spoken to them.
So you've heard from, just to get this clear, you have heard from young women who make these allegations, who were at the time of the abuse, the alleged abuse, employed by the organization, Bill Gothard. But you haven't heard from, say, anyone else who wasn't personally making the allegation saying, yeah, now I admit it, I knew it was happening, or now I realize what was happening.
Right. We did hear from, one of the young women who told us her story went to her father and explained to him what was going on. He became very concerned, and he addressed Bill Gothard. And Bill quietly sent her, semi-quietly sent her away in a little bit of a cloud of disgrace without being overt about it. So he basically told her and her father that they were completely mistaken, completely misunderstanding the situation, and sent her away. So there were individuals connected with these young women who from time to time did address Bill Gothard personally, but those incidences were covered up at the time. They never really became public.
Dr. Cornish, in addition to some more forthright statements that you would like to see from Bill Gothard himself, you are also calling for him to, and these are the words of your reaction, your statement, publicly recant the specific teachings that led to the abuses to which he has confessed. What are you calling for?
Well, in his statement, Bill acknowledges that a lot of the causes of the abuse were his wrong focus and focusing on external appearances, focusing on standards and measuring up rather than focusing on developing a relationship with God. And it almost comes across as he just kind of misplaced his focus a little bit, and that's what led to all of these things. when in reality, our view is that the entire Institute and Basic Life Principles system, the seven basic principles, the teachings of Bill Gothard, are ultimately at fault for creating this structure. The principle of authority, the chain of command, is one of the seven basic principles, one of the major tenets of the Gothardistic system. So we would, rather than him just presenting it as, I misplaced my focus and I need to apologize for the result of this, we would like him to say, well, I taught X, Y, Z, and because I taught X, Y, Z, this happened. And just to be specific with how his teachings led to some of these things.
And finally, with only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Cornish, what does IBLP need to do in your way of thinking?
In our view, IBLP needs to do whatever it takes to be completely and utterly transparent with what has happened and what they're doing to ensure that it never happens again. One of the things that we have called for on our website repeatedly is an independent third-party investigation from someone who's not connected with the Institute in any way to come in from the outside and to ask the hard questions and see what really happened, and then to own up to it and acknowledge these reports. As Carrie said earlier, we've heard nothing but silence from them about this issue, other than a report is supposedly forthcoming. So we would just challenge them to be transparent, honest, and make that choice going forward to tell the truth.
Dr. John Cornish and Carrie Underwood are co-founders of Recovering Grace, an online organization devoted to helping people whose lives have been influenced by Bill Gothard. Dr. Cornish, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Carrie, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
We will post a link to Recovering Grace at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Dr. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis review Episode 8 of Cosmos, a Space-Time Odyssey. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a great apologetics primer. Now, it's not just a textbook on apologetics. What it does is, in a case-by-case study, it answers modern objections to the Christian faith from all different angles. It's called Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It is edited by two Issues Etc. regular guests, Dr. Corey Moss and Dr. Adam Francisco, and the author lists include other Issues Etc. guests as well. Find out more about the book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Making the Case for Christianity, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.